Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Having said this much, Hari Das Babaji became silent for a moment. At this time, Nityananda Das Babaji of Baragachi folded his hands and said, "May I ask a question now?" Sri Hari Das Babaji replied, "You may do so without hesitation." In other words, when the person's making, you ask a question, you wait till they've finished, and then you ask like that, because he's, you know, it's a formal, and also this devotee does everything very, very nicely. He likes to go in a very nice order. The young Sri Nityananda Das Babaji inquired, "Respected Babaji, into which category of Vaishnava would one place me? Am I a Kanista or a Madhyama? I am certainly not an Uttama Vaishnava." Sri Hari Das Babaji, "First you must reveal everything about yourself. If Sri Nityananda prompts me, then I may say something of relevance." Right? In other words, Nityananda Das has to say, you know, whatever, like that, but Nityananda Prabhu, meaning the original, then if he... Where was that? Where's this footnote?
That was all the way at the top, the fourth line.
Ah, okay, so we've already done this. Yeah. Okay. Sri Nityananda Das started, "I was born in a low-class family in a village upon the bank of the river Padmavati. I married young and never left the righteous path. However, after my wife's early demise, I developed detachment from family life. In Baragachi, I met some renounced Vaishnavas who had left household life. I saw they were well respected by others. Desiring such respect and swayed by the passing mood of renunciation caused by my wife's demise, I ended up taking Bhikkhu initiation from these Vaishnavas in Baragachi. A short time later, my mind was attacked by immoral thoughts and became very difficult to control. Fortunately for me, I happened upon the good association of a true Vaishnava. Presently, he is in Braja. He gave me sound advice and kept me by his side. In this way, he gradually purified my consciousness. Now I am not troubled by any mundane desires and have developed a taste for chanting Harinam. Daily, I chant 100,000 names upon my Tulsi beads. I have realized that Nama, the holy name, and Nami, the possessor of the holy name, the Supreme Lord, are transcendental and non-different. I observe Ekadasi vows strictly according to the scriptures and daily offer ghee lamp and water to the sacred Tulsi plant. When the Vaishnavas sing in Kirtan, I participate gladly, and my heart stirs with spiritual exultation. I drink the Charinamrita of the Vaishnavas with relish and daily study the devotional scriptures such as the Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have lost interest in eating elaborately and putting on fine clothes. Upon hearing mundane prattle, I feel ill at ease and disinterested. When I see the bhava of the pure Vaishnavas, I desire to roll upon the ground at their feet, but must admit that I do it mostly for winning acclaim and attention. Kindly now tell me to which level do I presently belong, and accordingly, what are my duties?" With a smile, Sri Hari Das Babaji looked in the direction of Vaishnava Das Babaji and said, "Let us hear from you. To which level does Nityananda Das belong?" Vaishnava Das Babaji replied, "From what I've just heard, I would say he has progressed from Kanista Adhikari neophyte stage to Madhyam Adhikari intermediate stage." "Hari Das Babaji, I second that opinion." Sri Nityananda Das Babaji, "Wonderful. Now I know my level of spiritual progress directly from the lips of the Vaishnava Mahatmas, great souls. Kindly shower your grace upon me so that I may be gradually promoted to the stage of Uttama Adhikari. Vaishnava Das Babaji continued his assessment. At the time of your formal initiation, Beka, you are motivated by pratishtha, mundane desire for position, fame, and adoration. Though you were not eligible for Beka, you still accepted that position. That was an offense, and so you were becoming degraded. Fortunately, however, you received the kripa of a pure Vaishnava, which pulled you out of that of the mire. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji. Even now, slight residues of desire for pratishtha remain in my heart. I think that by shedding tears and exhibiting bhava, I can impress others and receive respect and honor from them. Sri Haridas Babaji. Try diligently to rid yourself of this. Otherwise, you run the big risk of gradually constricting your devotion. If that were to happen, you would be demoted to the level of Kanista Adhikari. Even though a Vaishnava may resolutely drive away lust, anger, greed, etc., the desire for pratishtha does not leave easily and is truly detrimental. Especially beneficial for the sadhaka Vaishnava is that he categorically rejects chaya bhava abhash, the shamming of spiritual emotions, and sincerely endeavors for even a minute drop of real bhava at the heights of his devotional feelings. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji now looked up to Sri Haridas Babaji as his guru. Ask, what are the mukhya principles and gona secondary symptoms of a Kanista Adhikari? Okay, so now he's defined by his Shraddha, right? That the Kanista then doesn't quite have that same Shraddha. There is Shraddha in the process of chanting, but it's not to develop to the level of the Madhyama Adhikari, so that's what makes that difference, right? So his devotion is not fixed, that some, you know, can be irregular and this and that. But now he's asking, okay, what are the symptoms, right? Because before we got, what are the, what's the mood, right? Because that's the most important. You have the mood, then you have what's happening, right? So now we're getting the Sri Haridas Babaji, the mukhya symptom of a Kanista Adhikari is faith in the eternal form of Bhagavan, which results in the worship of the deity form of Bhagavan. Right. So here is, how do you say they're devoted? They have faith in the eternal form of the Lord. Right? Because otherwise, as we saw, the smartas, they're worshiping the deity. Right? And doing with, you know, very regular, very nicely, very elaborately, all the mantras, tantras, puranadis, you know, whatever it is you want to throw in there. They do it, but they don't have the faith in the eternal form of the Lord. So technically, it's not counted as devotional service. Right? But that was the whole difficulty before, is that the smartas were saying, we're worshiping the deity. Why do you make a difference between our position as devotees and others? It's because of this that they don't have faith that the form of the Lord is eternal. Right? That's where the neophyte is. He has faith that the form of the Lord is eternal, so he wants to come to the position of serving Krishna, you know, as a devotee. Right? Means eternally. So that's what will make him, so that faith is there. Right? The gona symptoms of a Kanista Adhikari are the devotional activities he performs, such as hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, and so on. Right? So the mukhya is, he has faith in the Lord. Mukhya means the primary. Secondary is, he performs the sadhana bhakti. Right? Because if he has faith but doesn't do any sadhana, then it's, what's he doing? Where's the position? Right? Or as the smartest, they're doing the sadhana but don't have that faith. You understand? So then the point is it's the two together, is that you have that faith and you're practicing the sadhana, right? Now it may be he's not able to practice it very well, but that's what sadhana means, it's practice. But he has that faith If he keeps the proper association with that determination, it will naturally come with time. Right? So then it's just a matter of how fixed he is and how, so whether he's a more mature or less mature, right? Yes.
So this explains to us how consciousness is more important than the external.
Yes.
Because the external will fall.
Yeah, that's what we've got before, is that it keeps bringing up how the ritual, like Manu says, that the ritual is secondary. Mm. Right? The attitude is the primary. Right? Mm. He didn't get into as much detail, Manu. Right? Because the main discussion is Varnashram. How is the Naimittic? But he's pointing out the Naimittic is secondary to the proper attitude. Right? And, you know, in other words, understanding the soul, understanding the Supreme Soul and their relationship. That's primary. Right? Like that. Shinitinanda Babaji. One cannot become a Vaishnava unless and until one develops implicit faith in the eternal transcendental form of Bhagawan. Nor can one become a Vaishnava without worshipping the deity through the regulations of Shastra. Right? So you have to have both. But these two symptoms are mukya is easily comprehensible. So, however, I find it difficult to grasp why hearing and chanting are considered the gona symptoms. Right? Means I can indicate, okay, I'm worshipping the deity. You know, I have faith in the Lord and I'm worshipping the deity. Why aren't these mukya? Why isn't, you know, gona means, you know, he, you know, does something, you know, weird or something, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Why is it these are? Because the point is the sadhana, right, is the medium to express that faith. Right? Does that make sense? You always have to understand what's the primary and the secondary. Like that. But the point is how do you express the primary without the secondary? If you have faith in the Lord, how do you express that? Through sadhana. Right, but if you have you can perform sadhana without the other. That's the point, right? Why is that the point? Because expressing it without the secondary, without the primary, that's called material, and the secondary with the primary, that's called spiritual. You understand? It means you can deal with God's energy, not connected with Him. He's the primary. His energy is the secondary. Is the support, right? So you're able to appreciate the primary because of the secondary, right? But you can deal with the secondary without understanding that the primary exists. That's what the material world is. Everybody here is dealing with the form of this world and not understanding God's here. If you look at it, it means, why is everything working? We just take it for granted. The sun's coming up in the morning. Why? It means if it was by chance, some days it would come up, some days it wouldn't. No? No, but it always comes up. Exactly. You can tell for the next 1,000 years what time it'll come up. You can tell down to the second. It'll come up at this time. Right? You know how everything works. You know the trees grow like this. You don't see a tree upside down or a tree fly off, you know? You know what I'm saying? A bird stuck there with its feet in the ground because it's growing there. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen. You know, driving along in the highway and there's this big, like, catfish in the next car driving down. You know, it's not happening. Why? Because there's laws of God. It's fixed. We take it for granted, but this means there's higher intelligence because we didn't think of it this way. It's already like that. Everybody we know didn't work it out like this. Right? So unless you got an insight, you know, on who is at that, you know, how you say, that universal conference of all jivas, you know, that worked it out, then some other intelligence is working this out, and it's consistent, you know. Over here it does the same thing. Go to another place, it's the same. Anywhere you go, it's the same. Why? There's some distinct, universal consciousness is arranging all this. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, you want to ask something? I'm just thinking about, this has brought up a point from this morning. I guess we'll get back to it tomorrow, but maybe not because we moved on. Because we have the point of that, the jiva, you know, about his energy being reflected onto the intelligence. But at the same time, is the power that the senses are using is not the jiva's power. that all this is functioning is the Lord's power. Right? So that's how it can function, and the jiva can be aloof. Because it's the Lord's power that's functioning. Otherwise, if he's aloof, where would the energy be going in? How would it function? But it's the Lord's is making it function. But it's a matter of he's investing in it. That's why he becomes entangled. Mm-hmm. Or he doesn't invest in it. Like that, yeah. So it's just a matter of making the distinction. What, they don't clearly make the distinction there between the supreme soul and the soul, individual soul. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the system's not meant to. It means how they're applying it. Yeah, yes.
The Kanishna has that mukhya of faith in deity. He doesn't have
the faith in the form of the Lord.
But there's no action, there's no...
No, there is action. What the question has come up is that the activities of sadhana, why are they classified as gona, meaning secondary, instead of mukhya as primary? That's his question. His first question is, what's the primary and secondary system, symptoms? So he said the primary is faith in the eternal form of the Lord. Right? The secondary system is just you perform sadhana bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smara. Right?
You said that secondary was the medium expressing the...
Yes. That's why it's secondary. But Nityananda Das is asking, how is that secondary? You'd think that's primary. Right, primary, because that's what gets your goal, that's what gets, you know what I'm saying? Because we take it that karma generates everything else. You know, or gyan generates that. If I have knowledge, then it's perfect. Or if I have the skill and perform the activity, then it's perfect. But no, you have devotion to the Lord, then it's perfect. Because the knowledge and the skill are secondary. Right? Because that's the general tendency, is we think, because I'm performing the sadhana, therefore I'm advanced. No, it's because you have faith in the Lord, that's how you advance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, of course, you have faith in order of guru, and that if I perform this, then I will benefit. But it's the faith that is the primary. The performing of the thing is the secondary. You understand? Just like the cook. He knows cooking. He uses various techniques and various pots and pans to accomplish it, but that's secondary. The primary is his understanding of cooking. Right? Does that make sense?
Kanishna, he has very little faith in the whole process. It seems like, just in the form, he recognizes that this is the Lord. He doesn't know how to interact with him, how to deal with the Lord.
That's also just as he goes. Means the more neophyte, the less, and the more mature there. Because at some point that matures into the mudya. Right? Like that. So it just naturally. So that's the idea, is that it's a range. It's just a box and that's it, and then you suddenly move to the next. It's your range through, and at one point it turns into the next. You know, just like when you have the colors, the charts. It's one color, and then at one point it gets so close that it turns into the next color. Right? That's the thing. Yes.
So Maharaj, there is a relation between faith and devotion.
Faith and devotion? Yeah.
It seems that it is.
Is it your devotion? Is that your commitment to it? That faith is that you... Yeah, you have that determination that this is correct. This is right. This is reality. So, in other words, you have the element of the tattva and you have the element of the rasa. So, the tattva is the facts. So, you have faith in the facts, and the rasa is that you express that. It means if your position is there, what's your relationship?
So, if we think that the sadhana is the primary, that would then mean that karma generates bhakti.
Yes, because that's generally, I mean, that's what the neophyte means. My skills, my material abilities are my outstanding feature. Right? Does that make sense? So someone who has no material abilities, generally tends to be quite humble. You know what I'm saying? At least within devotional service, right? You know, if he's outside devotional service, tends to be neurotic, but in devotional service, he can just be humble, right? You know, it's like it works. So then, you know, unless he becomes proud that he's humble because he doesn't have any skills. So the difficulties you think is my abilities, that's what's the outstanding element, rather than it's devotion that's the important element. Right? Because then I'll see some fault in someone else's sadhana, so I'll criticize because that's not as advanced. You know, which on one level, yes, it would naturally go together, your nice sadhana with that, but there may be some other reason for it. You know, like that. Because that's not the actual symptom. It is a symptom, because as you mentioned, these are symptoms, but it's not the primary symptom. So in other words, if there's other elements that show, but if the primary symptoms aren't so well situated, then that means the secondary symptoms that you can see, then it just confirms it. Right? But just because you see the secondary doesn't necessarily mean that you have understood the primary correctly. Right? But the natural thing is somebody does, is what he should do properly. Right? It's not enough to say, well, it's only the primary, so the secondary doesn't matter. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. However, I find it difficult to grasp why hearing and chanting, etc., are considered the gona symptoms, right? Secondary. Why are these deemed subordinate? Sri Haridas Babaji. The Kanista Adhikari cannot properly perceive the science of Shuddha Bhakti. Certainly, hearing and chanting, etc., are the limbs of Shuddha Bhakti. However, as the Kanista Adhikari is unable to realize the transcendental nature of Shuddha Bhakti, such activities like hearing and chanting do not take the mukhya position in his spiritual practice. Right? It's not that they can't be, it's just they don't in his, because he doesn't actually understand pure devotion. Because pure devotion means it's being done for Krishna's pleasure without anything for myself. Right? Therefore, for the Kanista Adhikari, these activities are designated as being at the gona level. Another reason why they are gona is that the Kanista Adhikari performs these activities under the influence of the three gunas, the material modes of sattva, raja, and tama. Only when hearing... There are some new kids about this big, so maybe that's... Either that, or they finally got was an Alvin to become a devotee. Right. That was been a nice guy. It's just, you know, whether his Bhakti Sukriti had gotten enough and all that. You know, so. Only when hearing, chanting, and remembering are executed on the near guna platform, which by definition is beyond the influences of the three gunas, can they be designated as the limbs of Shuddha Bhakti? And as soon as these activities rise above the three gunas, the level of Madhyamadhikari is attained. Okay, so then they become directly limbs, so it's just non. But otherwise, they are limbs of Shuddha Bhakti. But the neophyte doesn't understand Shuddha Bhakti, therefore they're not considered limbs, they're subordinate. Right, but the principle that they are is there, just he can't distinguish. Right. So if the advanced devotee is performing them, they are limbs, so they are mukhya. But the neophyte, because of not being able to tell what's Shuddha, therefore they're being done under the modes of nature. Right, you're engaging the naimittic element. Right, does that make sense? Because there's sakam, there's one's own desires. And all that. But Shuddha Bhakti means without your desire. So then the tendency... So they're important, because otherwise how do you manifest that faith? But at the same time, is it not that they themselves are the direct actor? Because you can perform the activity and be thinking of something else. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji. The Kanista Adhikari, the Kanista Vaishnava, suffers from material hankering, which manifests as desire for karma, jnana, the mystic powers of Astanga Yoga, and mundane sensuality. How then may he be recognized as a devotee? Sri Haridas Babaji, now he's taking the other. So he's got these conditionings. So how would you basically recognize that he's a devotee? Because that's the other. Well, how do you? Oh, he has this. Well, what about the other side? How do you actually call him a devotee? You know, so that's the fun part about this is that, you know, it's this side and then it's that side and then yeah. Sri Haridas Babaji, the root of bhakti is shraddha, right? Because that's why it's shraddha to prema, right? Therefore, one who has developed shraddha is eligible for executing bhakti, and is certainly at the threshold of pure bhakti, right? Right, because you've taken up, you've gotten the faith. So if there's only, you know, that element of the innocence, then it's not a threshold of bhakti. It may be just a very nice, you know, materialist, or he's performed bhakti sukriti, but he hasn't developed the faith. So that could go on for a very long time. But when he's developed the faith, then it's at the threshold of shuddha bhakti, because shuddha bhakti, that's actual devotional service. Right? That's where we say, now it gets serious. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the threshold. But as soon as that faith is there, that's the threshold. It's just how long it takes him to get across the threshold. That's all. You know, very big threshold. Like that. The word shraddha includes vishvasa, firm belief. Right? So the more firm, the more, you know, closer. Since the Kanista Bhakta has vishvasa in the eternal deity form of the Supreme Lord, then he's indeed a proper candidate for bhakti. Right? So he has that firm faith in the deity form of the eternal deity form of the Lord. Right? Means the smarta has faith in the deity form, that if I do this ritual, I will get benefit. But it's only once they get the benefit, you don't need to worship the deity anymore. So it's not an eternal position. That's why it's called naimittic. Right? Even though they may do it daily, so therefore it's daily activity. So the one is nitya means eternal, the other means nitya means daily. Right? Naimittic means, you know, temporary, and in the other one it means occasional. Right? Does that make sense? So they're synonyms of the same word. You just have to know where to apply them. Okay, so he has that firm belief in Krishna's eternal form. Right? So that qualifies him to take up the process of bhakti, the proper candidate for bhakti. So that's what puts him on the threshold. Right? Then, shuddha bhakti, that's devotional service. Yes.
So what is the difference between shraddha and vishvasa, faith and belief?
No, shraddha includes firm belief. It means you have faith, but you have that firm belief. One is that it's kind of the feeling, the other is that commitment. It means you have that, but there's that commitment to it.
Yeah. And it comes from the verse which defines shraddha, that it's the firm belief that by just performing devotional service, and then he also automatically
Shraddha Shabdi Vishwas Kahis.
They're used interchangeably.
Okay. Yeah. But he's saying it includes this element of firm belief. So it's probably Vishwasa is you know, specifically means firm belief. But it's like you said, it's a synonym of Shraddha. It's just a slight nuance of, you know, to bring out the various aspects. Because any one element has so many aspects to it, right? You know, so the manifestation of that, does that make sense? You know, Krishna's there, he has so many qualities, so there's so many manifestations.
I'm maybe out on a limb here, but could it be that shraddha means that you're investing yourself in it, whereas firm belief doesn't necessarily mean that you're investing yourself in it. It just means you believe something.
No, here it's more that firm belief, that's why the firm is there, is that it's always there, it's constant, it's consistent, not that today you have faith, tomorrow you don't. Because then that means you're on the, you know, developing that, you're in that stage of shraddha where you're trying to develop that. So it's like on that border, but once you've done, then it's firm, so you're fixed in that. You know. like that. So that's what puts him on that threshold, you know. So the other one is you're on the threshold of the threshold. You know, and I guess Bhakti Sukrita is the threshold of the threshold of the threshold, yeah. But being a nice guy isn't the threshold of any of this, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Be a threshold in the opposite direction.
Yes, it also can be, yeah, yeah. Real nice materialist, yes. You know, you've lined your bucket with velvet. Yes.
Maharaj, if I associate myself with a balasi, is that still considered as a bhakti sukriti? Or, what is it? Balisha. Is that still considered as a...
Oh, I mean, are you meaning that a balishi means it's a female balisha or something? That would be a balisha, generally, you know.
Yeah, would that still be considered as a bhakti sukriti, or is the minimum...
No, because the point is someone who has this faith. Because it means there's going to be two kinds of balisha, right? It means one who is innocent, meaning he's open to the idea of Krishna consciousness, but hasn't really committed himself. He doesn't have that faith. And the one who has, right? But why they're both are counted, because all that is before pure devotional service. That's why it's put into that category. It's put into that simply so we understand pure devotional service, that's devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? And that before that, that's preliminary to it. But the person with faith, that's your Kanista Adhikari Vaishnava. The other one before that is your, you know, someone with Sukriti, Bhakti Sukriti. Like that. Does that make sense? So, in other words, you associate with neophyte devotees, they have that firm faith, so it's good association. It's just that when they're not, you know, so in other words, if they're engaged in the Gauna activities of hearing, chanting, and remembering, then you're doing okay. But when they're doing other things, that may be things that aren't on the list, that's where you have to watch out. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji, at which stage will he actually attain bhakti?
Okay.
You have to always catch what is the
like
way of asking the question.
Like an auction.
Yeah, and everyone has their little, you know, something. Because somebody do it like this.
At what point does it become like...
Yeah.
On the threshold of asking a question.
Yeah, you know, gets close, but not quite. Okay. Sri Haridas Babaji, the Kanista Bhakta becomes elevated to Madhyama Adhikari when his desire for karma and jnana, etc., begins to wane. Mm-hmm. When concomitantly he aspires only for Ananya Bhakti, unalloyed devotional service. And when, instead of enthusiastically extending hospitality to all guests, he realizes the particular spiritual benefit of serving the Vaishnava devotees. Mm-hmm. At this time, the Kanista Bhakta becomes a Shuddha Bhakta of the Madhyam Adhikari status. Okay, so, in other words, his desire for karma and jnana are starting to go down. Right? This is not just a temporary blip, but it means it's just naturally starting to go down. Yes.
It seems sometimes that these Kanista and Madhyam... sometimes it seems like Madhyam is very, very advanced. And here, for me, it seems like, well, doesn't that happen pretty early? The desires for karma and jnana are going down pretty early. And
just maybe you hang out with a good bunch, that's all.
Maybe.
You know, the point is this, the desire, in other words, that the determination for that is less. Mm. Right? Mm. So but it says when concomitantly he aspires only for Ananya Bhakti, he only desires pure devotion.
Yeah.
Right? So material desires may, you know, go down. Okay, you've been married for 10 years, you know, so but is it at the same time as pure devotion is also. Right? Mm. And And when instead of enthusiastically extending hospitality to all guests, he selects specifically those who are advanced. Mm. Right? Because as a householder, he's going to be inviting people, but now he's inviting specifically those who are advanced rather than other social considerations. Mm. Right? So in other words, he wants to see that he gets that kind of association. Mm. So those all kind of come together. Mm. Right? Waning of material desires, desire, you know, only for pure unalloyed devotion instead of for karma and jnana, and he's more selective about his association. You know, that is advanced devotees. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because the karma and jnana waning, it's not just you become bored with it or, you know, kind of you're getting too old to have so much enthusiasm. You know, but it's more that the actual concept of it is not so important. Doesn't mean it's gone away, right? Begins to wane, right? Because then when taste comes, then it will be more dynamic, attachment more dynamic, right? So in other words, that's where you start to see it's gone, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just showing different ways that you can tell. Because the point is we've already pointed out, the person who has that firm belief, he's already the best. Mm. Yeah. Right? You know, and you know, even before that, someone who's just chanted once is already the best. Right? Bhaktivinoda, of course, says, you know, you're going by and Harinam or anything, you're going and there's a whole bunch of people and one guy shouts out, "Hey, Hare Krishna," he's the best man in the crowd. Everybody else is just ordinary. Yeah. He's special. Right, because he's actually, you know, now situated on that. That how determined he is, how much he's taking it up—that's another thing. But he's begun the process. So technically, now he's a devotee, you know, just not necessarily so regular. But whatever. He's, you know. Right. So in other words, then it comes to this. Then he comes to the platform of pure devotion, because pure devotion means it's not being done for karma and jnana, and it's for Krishna, it's for favorable for Krishna. So the Nanda Bhakti is favorable for Krishna and free from karma and jnana. So that means it's free from, that's the full definition. But it's starting that path when it's starting to wane, that karma and jnana are not the focus anymore. Does that make sense? Okay. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji. It is said that Shuddha Bhakti begins to manifest with the attainment of Sambandha Gyan. Therefore, how and when does Sambandha Gyan manifest, bestowing the eligibility for Shuddha Bhakti? Sri Hari Das Babaji. As soon as one's knowledge is completely cleansed of the minutest traces of Mayavad philosophy, both Sambandha Gyan and Shuddha Bhakti manifest simultaneously. So in other words, this Mayavad philosophy where you think you're the Lord, you know, in other words, you can't tell the difference between you and the Lord like that for whatever reason, you know, then when that is very clear in the philosophy and you have faith in that, then that knowledge and pure devotion, they manifest at the same time. So now he's bringing in that. It's not just the faith, but it's also this knowledge. So they come together. So if they come together, it means both would naturally be there. Mm-hmm. You have the proper knowledge, you have the proper faith. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right. It's because of the faith, therefore you're able to appreciate the knowledge. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And the knowledge would then generate even more faith.
Yes. Radhanath Maharaj was saying, when he goes around, because he goes to all these different places, these yogas and this and that, and so many different kinds of varieties of people. And when he has posture, he discusses about devotional service. And he says, for some of them, then it's just immediately, wow, okay. They just catch it like that. And it says, others, you can explain it, and it never means anything. It's nice that he said they're nodding their head, and yeah, okay, yeah, sounds good. But they don't catch it. They just don't. So it's only by the grace of the Lord that it's there, the mercy of the devotees, that association. But he said, some catch it, some don't. And, you know, who will and who won't, that you don't know. Okay. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji, what is the period of time required for this? Because we work in time and space. So how long am I doing this for? Sri Hari Das Babaji, it all depends upon the strength of one's Sukriti. The higher the Sukriti, the quicker the results. Hmm. No time here again, right? Sri Nityananda Das Babaji, what are the initial results of Sukriti Bala, the power of previous piety? Sri Hari Das Babaji, one attains sadhu sangha, association with saintly persons. Right? So that's the thing. You've done something, it puts you in the association of devotees. Then you'll do more. So it's just a matter of when that's increased, then at some point one develops faith. Right? So when that will say, don't know. But in any case, it'll always put you back in contact with the devotees. Right? So either that means you'll continue the process, but whether it's done with that determination, that vishvasa, or whether it's just still, you know, an interest. Mm. You know, you're still just innocent in that way. You know. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji, then what are the step-by-step developments as a result of sadhu sangha? Right? So he's trying to get the analytical, right? But the point is that it's going to come because of devotion. It's going to come by association. Right? That association, you're going to see the mood of the Vaishnavas and their faith, and you're going to hear the knowledge. Right? So when you appreciate that knowledge, that you're applying that with that proper devotion, then the Shuddha Bhakti manifests. Sri Hari Das Babaji. The Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25 states, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ears and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually advances along the path of spiritual liberation. Thus, one is freed from material contamination, and one's attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Right? So you can say, it begins because one's fixed, so the Shraddha is firm. But it can also would indicate what we were saying before, is that when one is freed from material contamination, one's attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed. So you can also take it as nishta. Hmm. Right? So then that's when he says, then real devotion and devotional service, meaning Shuddha Bhakti, begins. Before that, it was the threshold of it was devotional service, but it wasn't pure devotional service, right? So, but you can also take it to that level down between just agyata sukriti and devotional service, right? The same process is there, because by that association, you're freed from material contamination, and you become more fixed in the process. Now you're committed to it. So then it takes up that process, right? Then when that becomes more purified, you know, anartha nivritti, and it becomes steady, nishta, then you can say again that. Does that make sense? So it's always that same that's moving up. It's the same thing. The same thing will happen again at once freed from all material contamination means once given up the conditioned nature, right? Does that make sense? And then one's fixed in one's position, right? One's attraction to the Supreme Personality becomes fixed, right? So that's Purva Rag. Then you can say, then you take up real devotional service, right? Does that make sense? So it's the same principle, it's just being applied at different levels. So depending on where, so now we're talking about between the neophyte and the Madhyama, so we're applying it there. But then he's also asking, how does the neophyte come to that so it applies down there? Is that... Okay, footnote 17. Shraddha ratir bhakti anu kramishyati. In the word-for-word translation, Srila Prabhupada writes, Shraddha, firm faith, rati, attraction, bhakti, devotion, anukramishyati will follow in order. Right? So from faith, attraction, devotion. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. Right? I mean, something you appreciate more and all, but it's not really going to be dynamic until you associate with devotees, right? Because then you means associating person, Krishna conscious and practicing, right? Because then it will be dynamic. You learn from them, you see their mood, you practice with them. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Generally, people are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Because they do not associate with devotees, they cannot understand that the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is a very difficult subject matter, and unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there's no meaning to devotion. Right? How you can't be devoted to something impersonal, right? Because to be devoted means there's the element of one person to another. So unless there's the personal concept, how does one take that up? So that's the difficulty. Mm-hmm. Right? Service or devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. Right? Because they think that activity means material. Right, emotions, exchange, relationships are material. So all these can't be spiritual. So they don't appreciate the Lord's pastimes. Mm-hmm. So that's why generally they don't hear about them. Mm-hmm. So it's not just by hearing that's enough. You have to hear in the association of devotees. Mm-hmm. Right? So that would also explain why it's how you say? Gona. Right? Because it itself is not going to be a work. It's the association of the devotees by which it will be, right? Because the madhyama is always keeping the association of advanced devotees. While the neophyte might or might not, right? Because that was one of the symptoms. When he takes it seriously and wants to advance with those who are more advanced, right? That's going to help bring him to that madhyama platform. Right? Yes.
I was just observing, Maharaj, that...
A little loudly?
Yeah, Shraddha plays such a central role in the advancement in this path, whereas in the Shaddarshans we've been following, hardly ever is Shraddha mentioned in Nyaya and Samkhya.
Yeah, it's true. You just have to... There are ideas, you just have knowledge and technique.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... You know, because the first three is specifically knowledge, and then the next two you need some technique. You need in yoga and in karma, mimamsa, you need some technique.
Yeah.
Of course, knowledge is there, but... Faith in the Lord, never comes up.
Yeah.
Right? It means they know the Lord is there. They have knowledge about the Lord, but it's not that the faith in the Lord is there. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
so his personal form.
Yeah. Personal. Yeah. Well, it means there. They know he's there. He's doing things, but they don't really attribute to it personal or not, or they don't seem to really get involved. Right?
Yeah.
You know, in yoga, then they'll say it's a personal form. But they're not working with the element of Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. They're just working with Paramatma. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's still the material concept. He's the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, but it's not a matter of having a relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Can we say that there is no devotional service without association of devotee?
No devotional service without associate, basically, you could say.
And no association of devotee without devotional service.
You could have association of devotees, but it's not necessarily that you might take advantage of it. You know, like, you know, you meet karmi friends or something. It's not necessarily they take advantage that you're a devotee. So technically you could say they're not actually associating, right?
Yes.
Like that. But, you know. But the point is that devotional service and devotees, they go together, because in the spiritual world, that's what you'll be dealing with.
Yes.
You know, it means devotional service is explained through the devotees. What is that? The elephant. Yeah, I couldn't tell if it's the elephant or over at the temple, then they're all going, hurry up. Yeah, grumpy elephant or ecstatic devotee?
800 ecstatic devotees.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's grumpy.
To understand the personal activity. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. Right? They've heard about spiritual life and not the proper mood, so they only know the impersonal. Right? To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of the devotees. And by such association, then one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. The path to the liberation is open, and he is fixed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed, and his attraction for association with the Lord and the devotees increases, right? Because they both go together. You won't find the Lord without the devotees, right? Or the devotees without the Lord. So they naturally... So the attraction for the association with both increases. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord. And then, being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. Sri Nityananda Das Babaji. What are the gradual steps that elevate a Kanista Bhakta? Sri Haridas Babaji. The Kanista devotee has developed Shraddha in the eternal form of the Supreme Lord and the divinity of his deity form. But he is not purified from mundane desire for karma, gyan, name and fame, etc. However, he performs daily deity worship, and as a matter of
coincidence.
As a matter of coincidence, he meets sadhus at his place of worship, or are greeted with the hospitality naturally accorded to any respected guest. The Kanista keenly observes the activities and behavior of these sadhus. He absorbs the spiritual discussions of the devotees on the different devotional texts. By such constant observation and hearing, he develops attraction and affection for the ways and words of those devotees. He then begins to rectify his own faults and weaknesses of character. Gradually, the mundane desires for karma and jnana begin to reduce, to the extent that his heart and consciousness are cleansed, and he becomes unburdened of anyavilashita, material hankering. Listening to Krishna conscious topics and the transcendental philosophy expounded by the sadhus, his knowledge and realization of the scriptures increases. Right. So one, the association, he's developed that faith and the activities and what they do. Right. The other now is bringing out the knowledge. Right. So in other words, he's hearing the topics and all that, but one is developing the faith like they have. The other is he's developing the knowledge like they have. Right, so that's what it was. You have the faith and the sambandha jnana. Mm. So Shraddha and sambandha jnana are. In the process of analyzing the transcendental truths about the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, Harinama, and the devotional process of hearing, chanting, etc., his realization of sambandha jnana and his own innate spiritual identity expand. When this initial process of development matures, he gains the adhikar to enter the madhyamadhikari level. Only then does he associate with devotees and serve the devotees in the true sense. At this stage, he no longer perceives the sadhus as ordinary guests, but serves them reverentially as gurus. Right? Otherwise, they're just someone who comes over. Right? Like that. So we can see also in here is just the element of how nicely the aspect of the temple program And being able to take part in that, how it's so dynamic. Because one, it's on the daily platform, you know, as one's worship at the home would be. But it's dynamic in that you have so much of the sadhu association, so much of example of others, you know, in that whole congregation. That element is very, very strong. So it's very, very powerful. Right? So one has to see that in this is that the other is the Kanista Vaishnavas. It's because sadhus come to his house. Then he's hearing from them and this and that. So one has to be very careful in establishing, cultivating the congregation. Is that these elements of that sadhu sangha are the most important to affect. Right? Not just that in their house they're practicing on their own, but it's the association of the sadhus that they get that's going to move them forward to the Madhyam platform. Right? Then it becomes dynamic. Does that make sense? So to cultivate the community preaching only on the platform, just everybody does their own kind of sadhana and their own devotional thing. It's the first step. Then they're in contact. But it's the association of the sadhus that's going to make it dynamic. So you have to see both of there. So the temple, the temple program, the temple facilities, the big programs, these are automatically something that happens. Then along with that, one tries to make these regular programs, however it is, at the house, at the hall, at the this, at that, whatever. Does that make sense? In other words, it's not just community meaning just the social element. One has to see that the sadhu sangha is there. Otherwise, it won't move forward very quickly. Right? Because otherwise, the neophyte, he learns, he's doing worship in his house. He's doing all the different things. Like that. So that's the beginning. So that's good. But how much by that sadhu sangha we see that's what bringing him. Because that was the difference, right? Otherwise, he has faith in the eternal form of the Lord and the divinity of the deity form. Right? You know, he performs deity worship as a matter of coincidence, he meets sadhu at his place of worship. Right? So either he's worshiping in the home, right? So we're saying there, so how often is the coincidence that you meet somebody? They just happen to be walking down the street and thought they'd just check and see if there were any deities in the house. So they just came and knocked on the door. Hey, you got deities? You know, like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's coincidence. But if you go to the temple, the coincidence is much more likely. Right?
Good sense.
You know, unless you have something arranged that sadhus are regularly coming and there's programs and that, then you kind of reduce just the coincidence, right? Because the point is their desire for karma, jnana, name, and fame are still there. They have the faith in the Lord, but they also have this still that, you know, previous practice of faith, you know, in these things also. The karma, jnana, you know, name, and fame are going to make me happy. Right, so they have faith in the Lord, but they also have some faith in this. So it's a matter of, by associating devotees, that faith adjusts. And then he doesn't have any more of that desire for these things. And then he hears about, you know, the proper topics of the Lord, developing attraction to the Lord and faith, at the same time the proper knowledge. So that's why the story forms are so nice, because you get both the attractive features and at the same time the discussions. Right, even you're having just Krishna and Mother Yashoda, they're still talking philosophy. Like it or not, read the Krishna book, you're going to end up with some philosophy. Right? Somebody's going to be talking it. So you get both. That's just so nice about the Puranic form. Right? It does both things. Right? Okay. Yeah. And Nola is ordinary guests. Means this, one takes the devotees for granted. So yes, they come over and they hang out and this and that. But then it's the sadhus are special. But also, we notice that he stops just inviting people just to hang out, but he invites to get that good association. Does that make sense?
Like, he asks, would you like something to eat? They say, yes. The fridge is right over there.
The which is?
The fridge is
right over there. Yeah, yeah.
Knock yourself off.
The only thing that doesn't quite seem right in this definition is that it appeared that you kind of made proper eye contact and interaction. wouldn't you be watching the television and eating something, and when they come in, you notice they're there, and you go back to the television and say, yeah, yeah, it's something, you know, it's like that. Or, you know, or if you want to say, yeah, or to say, yeah, hey, you want to say it's in the fridge, yeah, and then back to the thing, yeah. That would be a little bit more. No?
He's in the Kanista stage.
Yeah. I can remember this just once. I can remember walking into this one friend's house and they're eating, and that's exactly what they said. You know? Just, you know. Yeah, it's in the fridge. Yeah, and then I went to the kitchen, you know, sit down to watch them also.
Is this like gathering to be like a temple gathering? Like, you know,
I mean, this is a temple gathering?
Well, like a temple gathering.
Is this like a temple gathering?
Yeah, like in the aspect that you're associating with people that you're not ordinarily going to be associating with in your own home. Some inspiration for that.
I guess, yeah. I mean, but this is what we mean, is that there's things that are arranged to create association. So in other words, that someone's practicing in their house is not enough. You want to see that there is association. That's what we were meaning. Like that. So however it works, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like even in the BTG, like you have temples and you have gatherings. You know, so it's something you can get together, and so association is important. Yes.
If someone has a strong desire for association, but they don't have a proper culture, is it considered like an improper imposition for them to say to the devotee that I want to be in your association, or are they just not qualified to ask that?
No, the whole point is it's just natural, because if they're more advanced, then he deals. But at the same time, is what does he mean by, can I be in your association? If he's already standing there, there must be some reason he can be there. You know, so it's just a matter of, is he going to somehow have to take part in an interaction? Or they're discussing, is it all right if I listen? Or, I heard you speaking, he said, can I ask a question? Or, you know, like that. So the point is, who is qualified in the material world? You know what I'm saying? Because one's in the material world because one's turned one's back on Krishna. That's the reason you're here, right? One doesn't get here because he's, you know, a great, pure, unalloyed devotee, and therefore he ends up here. Prabhupada. You know, just, you know, he went out for a walk, and then somehow or another...
What? Wait.
Kind of looks a little different. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? One is in the material world because of that, right? Means there are those who come here to preach, but they're not forced to be here, right? When they finish their preaching, they go back. But we, after they go back, we're still here, right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, the qualification is if one is actually interested, right? If one is envious of, you know, the Lord and the devotees and the process, then... No, but then he wouldn't want to do that. So if someone is interested, then that's there. But as we see is between Haridas and Nityananda Das, that the etiquette is there, is that if you actually want to associate, then you're there to hear, to listen, to render service, not to, you know, establish your name and fame, how you ask good questions or you know something or, you know, something like that. You have to be careful of that.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
So in general, is a principle that you should be greedy for association of
right.
A senior or more advanced devotees at any cost?
At any cost. What does that mean? Any cost. Like, and he's just like, drive your Lamborghini through the front of the temple so that... Because there was stuff there and you couldn't get close to them, and by walking around it just wouldn't happen. If you drive right in through the side, then when you get out of your car, you'll be right there. Or if it's still a bit packed, you just roll down the window and then you're right there. What do you mean by any cost?
This is the social aspect of like how to associate with devotees, because... Sometimes if there's a group of more advanced devotees associating with each other and you go and sit there...
They kick you out. Yeah, well, that means... Point is just see what are they talking about. You know what I'm saying? In other words, means be greedy for what's available, not for what's not available.
So sometimes if you don't ask or don't try for it, you know you won't get it.
Yeah, so then you try. But just be don't be disturbed if it doesn't work out. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So if it's actually worthwhile, then you'll keep at it. Okay, so then we'll end here. Next question is, many Kanista Bhaktas do not progress. What is the reason for this? We'll take this up tomorrow morning. I'm not sure if it's in the evening, everyone's more half asleep, or I'm half asleep, but we went through a lot of pages here.
So. I think also it was the pages themselves today.
Okay, so it's nothing to do with the second thing, so it's not in the morning people would be disappointed, what's going on, why it's moving so fast. Yeah, no, the questions were great. Like that.
Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Janitai Gaura Prema. Oh, I see. You mean there was a lot of one sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Paragraph. Yeah.
So long chapters. Ooh. Next one is Nitya Dharma and Material Science and Civilization. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't leave anything.